Are the U.S. tariffs on China on or off? It depends which senior Trump administration official you listen to. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The U.S. Treasury Secretary says a gathering trade war between the U.S. and China is now, quote, on hold. Given the current state of negotiations, the Treasury Secretary says the U.S. will no longer hit China with tariffs. But then America's top trade official, Robert Lighthizer, went on TV to say that China tariffs remain an important tool. If this is confusing in the North American time zones, it's also confusing 12 time zones away, where we find Marketplace's China correspondent Jennifer Back in Shanghai. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, David.
We think the U.S. is stepping back from the brink here in these China trade tensions. Tell us what came out of the latest round of trade talks.
Well, we don't have a lot of concrete details. We do know the U.S. had tried to push China to commit to buying $200 billion more per year from America. China promised to significantly increase its purchases of American farm products and energy, so perhaps things like beef and natural gas, but it resisted giving any detailed targets.
Now, we are seeing some, what should I say, mixed messages coming from the U.S. side. We have the Treasury Secretary wanting a deal, Trade Rep Robert Lighthizer seemingly taking a more aggressive sort of good cop, bad cop routine with China. But how's that play out in China?
So they're taking this latest announcement that both sides will not slap on any more tariffs on each other as a win-win cooperation. That's the phrase that all of the media is using here. Now, China's argument is that it doesn't want a trade war, but it won't be bullied either by America. And so the Communist Party newspaper, the People's Daily, said China had three things that the country will not give up on. China will not reduce its exports to balance trade with the U.S. It will certainly not agree to cut $200 billion worth in trade surplus, as proposed by the U.S. side. And it will also not stop upgrading its manufacturing industries for America.
So the U.S. Treasury Secretary saying a trade war is on hold, his words. But where are you left with this back and forth? It sounds like there's so many of these fundamentals that both sides cannot agree on.
Certainly. There are a lot of American businesses here operating in China who are concerned that the U.S. delegation is focusing too much on cutting back this trade deficit with China rather than tackling much more difficult structural issues that's happening in the economy here. For example, the government's subsidization of key industries and also the theft of U.S. intellectual property. From the China side, China does not believe that the U.S. deficit is as big as America is reporting it. In fact, they think it's $100 billion less. Secondly, China does not believe it should be blamed for the job losses in America. It says this is a result of globalization. So there are lots of hurdles to get over, but many experts here tell me that it's a good thing that both sides say they will continue to talk rather than slapping tariffs on each other's products, or at least it seems for now.
All right. Marketplace's China correspondent Jennifer Pak in Shanghai. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let us do the numbers. Maybe it's the tamping down of that trade war rhetoric, but the Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up. Dow future up 0.9%, S&P future up 0.6%. The FTSE 100 index is up 0.8%, in part because the British pound is down to $1.34. It's down in part because there was a published report out of London over the weekend of talk, whispers, that the Conservative government there will call a new general election later this year to shore up support for its ongoing negotiations to leave the European Union. They have universal health care in Britain, but changes to the rules place an asterisk next to the word universal. The British National Health Service now has to ask for identity papers when someone comes in for care, and for people who can't prove that they are legal residents, the price tag goes up. Hannah Harris-Green reports on how these policies affect undocumented pregnant women in particular.
Maternity Action is a London-based charity that helps pregnant women who face barriers to health care access. Many of the women who call the charity's advice line are undocumented, some seeking asylum from conflict zones. They need care, but fear a trip to the doctor could mean they'll be reported to immigration.
This is definitely a deterrent for women to engage with maternity services.
says Rosalind Bragg, the director of Maternity Action.
It also provides some really quite long-term impacts on these women, unable to sort out their status, unable to lawfully work in the country.
And a bill for child delivery can range from the equivalent of more than $5,000 into the tens of thousands.
If women are unable to pay these bills within quite a short period of time, that can be reported to the Home Office and future immigration applications refused on that basis.
Christine McCourt, Professor of Maternal Health at City University of London, says that if women avoid prenatal services, they could end up with dangerous and expensive conditions.
Not only is that really unfortunate for the mother and the baby and their family, but it's also extremely costly. So that there isn't even a kind of economic logic to it.
But Dr. Marion Thomas, a surgeon at the Lister Hospital in West London, says that many pregnant women come to the UK as health tourists, hoping to access free healthcare and then return to their home countries. He wants the National Health Service to be stricter.
The first thing they need to do is to make sure that the message goes out that the NHS is not free for everybody.
The most recent UK Department of Health statistics suggest that health tourism costs the NHS £60 to £80 million a year, less than a tenth of a percent of its overall budget. But it also says those figures are difficult to assess because it's hard to tell who is and is not entitled to free care. Thomas says it should be simple.
Our system is based on residency. If you can prove residency, then you're entitled to free care.
But undocumented women are avoiding healthcare because of recent documentation requirements. Enough women to keep Maternity Action's advice lines busy. In London, I'm Hannah Harris-Green for Marketplace.
All right. We are upon the 50th anniversary of Hot Wheels, Mattel's breakout hit in the more gendered world of 1968 for boys. What makes a Hot Wheel a Hot Wheel? Remember the thin axles on nylon bearings that spun like mad and were a little bouncy? Those orange Hot Wheels tracks with the red inserts to tie them together. Tided me over for the 6 years till I could drive an actual car. Don't know about you. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.